Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir, you're welcome.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and of course, Pastor is sick and not feeling well, and that's why I'm going to be sharing the Word of God. And I appreciate this opportunity always to open the Word of God with you. If you have your Bibles, would you open them to Matthew chapter 12? Matthew chapter 12. And my theme today, the topic is going to be a nation divided. And of course, there may be some political overtones to the message today, because we're going to be talking about our nation, which is more divided than I have ever seen it to be. Matthew chapter 12. Beginning in verse 22. And beginning in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 12, this is what the scripture says. Then was brought unto him, that is unto Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed. And they said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Wherefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray together. Father, as I begin to share about this portion of Scripture, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will guide me, that You will help me. Because, Father, everyone that is here today, it's not important what I think, but it's important what You think and what Your Word says. So I pray our hearts will be open and our ears will be open to receive what the Spirit of God is saying today. And Father, may You get the praise and glory for everything that is done. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I think we can all agree that we live in a divided nation. They used to say that in America, that we're in more in agreement over things than we are in disagreement over things. But I don't think that's true today. I think there's more disagreement among Americans, and it boils down to the Word of God and to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The context that we're looking at, and of course I'm going to kind of shift a little bit to apply it to our country, but the context is Jesus has begun His public ministry. And it's interesting that the Holy Spirit comes into the passage here, because, you know, Jesus was approximately 30 years old when He began His ministry. Because according to the law of the Jews, a priest couldn't begin his ministry until he was 30 years of age. So it was at the proper time that Jesus came and publicly then was baptized of John, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him. And the Bible says Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. And just kind of as a side note, if Jesus needed the Spirit of God for his ministry, how much more do you and I need the Spirit of God? And he had the Spirit of God without measure. And if you're like me, we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And I wake up and I pray and I ask God to fill me with the Spirit, and I believe he does. But my problem is I leak. And I think that's the problem we all have. But it's our desire to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And Jesus did that continually, always in the fullness of the Spirit. So Jesus comes and he heals a man that is both dumb and blind. He can't speak and he can't see. And Jesus touches him and heals him. And now the one that could not hear can hear. The one that could not speak can speak. And he's able now to see. And the people marveled. And of course, wherever Jesus went, the people were amazed at what Jesus was able to do. Just like today, we're amazed at what the Lord does. You know, we talk about miracles, and God does work miracles even today. But I believe the greatest miracle is when a person is saved, when they're born again by the Spirit of God, and their life is changed forever because God has come into their life. And that's truly a miracle. But here they were, and they saw this, and they were amazed. And then there was a controversy, because some looked at this miracle, and they said, you know, is not this the Son of David, the Son of God, that is working miracles like this? But those that were opposed to him, the Pharisees, said, what he's doing by the power of the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. And so that was the controversy. And you notice later on in the text, Jesus says, either you're for me or you're against me. Either you're going to be for me and you're going to gather, you're going to be against me and you're going to scatter. And it's always been that way. When Moses came down from the top of the mountain, you remember what the people did? They had made this here golden calf and they began to worship it, and they rose up to play and to do all the wicked things that we're doing. And when Moses came, he drew a line in the sand. And he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come and stand with me. And that day, 3,000 came and stood with Moses. But it's always been that way. Who are you going to stand with? You know, I happen to be a supporter of President Trump, but he's not my Savior. My Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. President Trump says a lot, I'll make America great again. He's unable to do that. The only one that can make America great is the one that made it great in the beginning. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The armies of America are great. Our military is the greatest military on the face of the earth. But like the children of Israel said, we're not going to trust in chariots and horses, but we're going to trust in the Lord our God. See, because God plants and God plucks up, according to the prophet Jeremiah. Because he took Jeremiah to the potter's house, and the potter had made a vessel, and it was marred. And he took that vessel, and he basically destroyed it and made a new one. And God said to Jeremiah, say to this people, like the potter, can't I do that? If I have a nation, and that nation does evil, I can pluck it up. But if I choose to bless that nation, I can plant it. So here's a great controversy that we have among us today, and people will argue about the nation of America. Did God plant this nation? Benjamin Franklin, who was not an outwardly professed Christian, basically said, and I'm putting it in my own words, can anything like this happen? That a nation like this could spring up without the providence of God being involved? Would be absolutely impossible. I've mentioned before when I preach, that little ragtag army that America had, standing up against the greatest military force in the world. Is that possible without God? I don't think so. We often hear the saying that our nation's values are based on Judeo-Christian values. Judeo-Christian values. What are Judeo-Christian values? There are people that would say, well, God has nothing to do with the planning of our nation. Maybe it just happened by chance along the way. In our Declaration of Independence, our forefathers listed out numerous complaints against the King of England, why we had the right to pursue our own nation and a republic, a democracy, where we would have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And those forefathers, like us, not perfect, but they had a strong belief in the providence of God. Many of them had a strong belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and had trusted Him as their Savior. So when we say our country was founded upon the values that were Judeo-Christian values, what are we saying? We're saying the values of our country and the laws of our country are based on the Word of God, that they came out of the Word of God. But here, in this passage, we see an attack on the Word of God. We see an attack on Jesus, and we see an attack on the Holy Spirit of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this Logos, and that word Logos, is a word, as I understand it, it means, if you're looking for purpose and reason behind everything that exists, Jesus says, I am that reason. I am that person. I am the reason why you are here. I'm the purpose for which you exist. We were made in the image of God to worship Him. You know, the Greek word anthropos is a word that means man. But it is a word in its definition that means to look up. Everywhere you look, everywhere the archaeologists go, every time they unearth anything, what do they find? In every civilization that's ever been known to man, man had a system of worship. Where did they get that from? They got that originally from Adam, because man was created to look up and to worship God, to worship one greater than himself. And God revealed himself. But as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, they decided that they were going to make God in their own image. They did not want to retain the knowledge of God in their thinking and in their thoughts. And so they made all of these dumb idols that could not speak or act or do anything else. Elijah put it like this to the children of Israel. How long do you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then worship Him. If Baal be God, then worship Him. And the people answered not a word. And you know what happened there on Mount Carmel when they called for the fire to come and God sent that fire. You know what? We need for God to send that fire once again upon the earth, that fire and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can't do anything for a lost man. A lost man needs a resurrection. He cannot have a revival. He needs to be saved. But revival is for the people of God and for the church of God. And we need to be revived. We need for God, if we're willing, to allow God to come into our lives and to do what God wants to do. So when they attack Jesus, they're attacking the Word of God. We read some scripture earlier about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, I just find it amazing. We went out knocking on doors yesterday and some of the answers that people give. And one fellow was convinced that eventually man will overcome all of our evil and overcome all of our problems, and we will have this kind of paradise on earth because man is going to accomplish that. Well, I'll tell you what, up to the present time, if you're trusting in man, you'd be sorely disappointed. But that idea that somehow man is going to work out, it's almost laughable that people will look at it like that and say that somehow man is going to be able to work out all of the problems. Well, that's why we're divided the way we are today, because we're looking to the ingenuity of man and the wisdom of men. Men can only do what God will allow them to do. They can't go beyond that. And everything that we have today, all the technology, God has allowed it to happen. And we thank God for all the blessings of life that we have. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, as we talk to people, and I ask them, do you believe in Jesus? And a lot of people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And then you begin to question them about their Christianity. Are they a follower of Christ? And no, I really don't believe in the Bible necessarily. Well, you just told me you believe in Jesus. Well, yeah, kind of. Well, how does that happen? Did a dog walk up next to you one day and say, hey, you know, there's this fella named Jesus. There was the Jewish historian Josephus. He wrote in a very small particle of the history, the antiquity of the Jews, there was this man called Jesus. Well, these people that say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I really don't believe in the Bible. Is there a chance that they were one of those people? If you took 99.99% of the people that live in this world, they've never read the history of Josephus. So I don't think they got the idea that there was a man called Jesus from Josephus or from a dog or from any other thing. You know how they get it? They get it from the Word of God. You're driving down the road and you see a sign that says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Another sign says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So all over the place you see these signs. And so people have this idea that there is a man named Jesus, a man that walked this earth. But you know what? Intellectually, you could say, yeah, I can agree there was a man called Jesus, but that won't get you saved. James says the devils believe and they tremble. The devils know more about Jesus than most people that walk on this earth. When Jesus came, they said, why have you come to torment us before our time? They knew who he was. They knew he was Jesus, the Son of God. So the law of the Lord is perfect, complete in everything that it says. It is truth without any mixture of error. It is the living word of the living God. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even to the piercing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and as a thought is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. The word of God is what convinces people of their sin. I can't convince you of your sin unless you will listen to what the Word of God. But the Word of God is perfect in what God sent it to do. His Word never returns void. He always accomplishes what He sent it to do and to accomplish His purpose. And the purpose of Christ coming, Jesus said, I've come to do what? To save sinners, that sinners might be saved. Amen. Jesus didn't come to make this a perfect world. It'll not be perfect until the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Truth comes and establishes his kingdom. He said, in this world, you're going to have wars. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have sickness and difficulties and all of these things. So he didn't come at this time to make the world perfect. He came to be a savior for sinners. And aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. I'm glad. I don't deserve to be saved. I deserve hell. But Jesus looked at you and me looking way down the corridor of time, and he loved us. And he took my sin and your sin upon his own body on that tree. And he died in our place, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so we praise the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and what he's done. But you know what? When you deny the Word of God, you are denying the Holy Spirit. He said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness for you in this life nor in the life to come. What is actually blasphemy of the Holy Spirit ultimately is this: to deny the message that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Because Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. He will teach you the truth. He will teach you about Jesus. John 17, Jesus said, thy word, talking to his Father, thy word is truth. People say they want truth. Well, the truth is Jesus Christ came to save you. The truth is you and I are sinners. The truth is you and I deserve to go to hell if we've not put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't call us to be religious. There's a lot of religious hypocrites in this world, and many of them carry the name of Baptist. They say, they know the Lord. I've invented a new word, sinno, Christians in name only. We've got a lot of them, and they're Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists, and they're Christians in name only, but they don't know the Lord. Jesus said that if we knew him, we would keep his commandments. If we loved him, we would keep his commandments. When we go against God and sin against God, we're saying to Jesus, we don't love you, and we don't believe your word, and we're not going to trust in your word. I'm absolutely sold out to Jesus. I know I can't save myself. I can't save a flea. I don't apologize for my preaching. If I say anything that's not according to the word of God, then I have a right to be called to task and to be challenged. But if what I'm saying and teaching and preaching, if it squares with the word of God, then I should get hearty amens. Because you see, my job is not to please you, not to please Brother Garcia. I want to please you. And my dear brother who's trusted me and allowed me to come behind this sacred desk, I want to please him. But ultimately, my goal is to please him who called me. Amen. And you know what? When we follow the Lord, he promised me something, persecution. He said, they hated me and they're going to hate you, John Jordan. You put your name in there if you're a follower of Christ. They persecuted me. Do you think you're any better? John Jordan, they're going to persecute you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. They're going to scoff at you when you try to share the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know we have that battle going. I've got a lot to say. I don't know if I'm going to get through it all. But let's go back to Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Back in the days when I used to gamble and go to the racetrack, I had a friend. And I found out later his advice was not very good. He would say to me, John, this horse is a lead pipe cinch. That was his words. You could count on it. I found out if I counted on his lead pipe cinches, I'd go broke. But you see, the law of the Lord is sure. It's steadfast, unmovable. You could count on it. The word of God always comes through. I don't know if I'm going to get to it today, but I want to tempt you a little bit to think about this. The judgment of God is coming. There's no question about that. But in America today, do you know, according to the word of God, we can delay the judgment of God? We can't stop it, but we can delay it. I'm not going to preach about that this morning, I don't think, but something for you to think about. And when I do preach about it, you could come back and listen to that. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Praise God. I'm so dumb. I need somebody to make me wise. The statutes of the Lord are right. Oh, yes, they are, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold. It's sweeter than honey and honey out of the honeycomb. And that's part of what the Bible has to say about itself. But here we are. We've been built on a foundation. If you go back to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, when I teach and when I preach, and I'll paraphrase, he said, if a man will listen to what I'm saying, and if he will build his house on my word, he said, that is a house, a foundation that'll be sure, and the storms could come and the wind could come and blow, but that house will stand. That's a wise man. But a foolish man, if he hears my words and decides to go his way and do his own thing, he's building his house on the sand, shifting sand. And when the storms come and the winds blow, that house is going to fall, and the fall of that house is going to be great. America has been built on the foundation of the Word of God. I want to give you another verse of Scripture. Don't know if I'm going to get to it today. But in Psalm 11, I believe it's verse 3 or 4, says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And again, just kind of tempting you, getting your appetite wet. There is a formula, I don't like to use that word, but there is a way in the Word of God that if the foundations are destroyed, there's something the righteous can do to delay the judgment of God. So here we're built on this solid foundation, on these spiritual truths. Our laws are modeled after God's law. And see, here's what gets us into trouble as a nation. Here's what divides us. And Jesus said, a nation divided against itself will be brought to desolation, absolute destruction. The longest empire in history was the Roman Empire. But it came to an end, and many believe to be revived in the last days, and I wouldn't argue with that. But the same things that brought Rome to an end will bring America to an end, because they went against the Word of God. They went against the truth. They went against their Creator. How long can a nation sin against God and stand? I don't know the answer to that. But I know ultimately, individually, and as a nation, we have to give an account unto God. And they said to Jesus, the Pharisees, what you're doing, it's not by God, it's by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. And Jesus said, if that is true, Satan is divided against himself. In other words, if I'm of Satan, everything I'm doing would destroy what Satan is trying to build. And then he asked them a question. You have exorcists. Years ago, they had the movie The Exorcist. And see, the Jews had exorcists. And the Pharisees, the same ones that discounted Jesus, they believed these exorcists were of God, that they could cast out demons. He said, I'm doing it by the Spirit of God. How are they doing it? You're not condemning them. You see, there's a way that seems right to man, but there's a way that it's the way that leads to destruction. People look at the law of God and the truth, and they have their own ideas. And they try to superimpose their ideas over the Word of God. In Matthew 15, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, well has Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. He said, with your mouths you honor me, but your hearts are far from me. You have taken the commandments of God and laid them aside, and you have superimposed the traditions of men over them. Isn't that what America is doing today? We're laying aside the Word of God and putting our own ideas into the place of God, saying this is right, or this is right, or that is wrong, and this is wrong. Well, a nation divided is going to be brought to destruction. America is divided today because of our view of Christ, because our view of the Word of God, and because of the decisions that we have made. Let me give you a few decisions. Well, it's been a while ago, but our Supreme Court took prayer out of the schools. You know, when I was a kid in school, we used to always, every morning, first thing we did, we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Well, now they're taking that out. They don't want these kids, and that's maybe another topic for another day, but our educational system is in a mess, and they're turning our kids against God. They're turning our kids against America. Systematically, they're doing it. They're trying to destroy our nation. You remember when the children of Israel, Daniel and his friends, were brought there to Babylon? First thing they did, they changed their names. They wanted to assimilate them into the culture. Don't be like those Jews that you were. We want you to be like we are. And that's what they're trying to do to our kids, make them into something entirely different. Parents, you need to be on guard against what your children, if they're in the public schools, what they're doing to them. Well, God's word is truth. God's word is perfect. God's word is sure. God's word is wise. And if we follow the word of God, we're going to be all right. if we're going to continue in those values. But the Supreme Court, and I guess it's been right around 50 years ago, they said that abortion is legal. Abortion is okay. Now, who am I to believe? The people on the Supreme Court are wise people. They've been looked at, they've been examined, been determined that they have the ability and the wisdom to sit on the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land of the United States of America. But for over 1900 years, what was it, 1973, when abortion came in? For all of those years, America had said abortion is murder. And our nation has changed its opinion for a variety of reasons. Psalm 139 is abundantly clear. Life begins at conception. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. It says, when our substance was not yet, when we had no members or parts, God had already numbered them all. God knew all about us, even in the womb. He said to Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. And he said, and I have sanctified you and called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before I even made you in the womb, I knew who you were. And I knew what you were going to be. And I knew what you were going to do. Paul said, God has separated me from my mother's womb. From my mother's womb, God separated me and called him to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's no question, Americans had no question about where life began. But you see, if this was a brick wall here, yeah, you could take a bulldozer and run right through it. But see, when it comes to the truth, the devil is smarter than that. He knows with a brick wall, I want to bring that wall down, and let's say that wall represents the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to take a brick out down here. Then I'm going to take another one. No one will notice it. Just a little slight deviation in what you thought. And I'll take another brick here and another. And before you know it, there's enough strategically placed bricks taken out. And you know what happens? That wall comes tumbling down. And that's the way the devil has worked. A little at a time, a little at a time, a little at a time. I mean, he's got forever to do it, but unfortunately, most of the rest of eternity he's going to spend in hell. But he's working like that and working. And see, we as people need to have wisdom. When we see a deviation from the Word of God, that's why you can have Jehovah's Witnesses. That's why you can have Mormons. They say, oh, what do you talk? Listen, if your faith isn't in the Lord Jesus Christ, your religion is wrong. It's false. It's just that simple. Herbert Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God and all of the rest in their views, they take it out a little at a time. They tell you there's no hell. Why, God's a loving God. He would never design a hell. You know what God said? Don't think for a moment that I think like you think. In Isaiah 55, he said, my words are not your words. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as heaven is above the earth, I don't think like you do. And that's what we want to do. We want God to think like us. I had a man tell me yesterday, you know what? If I was God, this is what I would do. I said, I'm so glad you're not God. Amen. But that's what people say. If I was God, this is how I would do it. And they would get it altogether wrong, and it would be altogether messed up. Psalm 106, I mentioned this in my prayer at the prayer breakfast with the men. I'll paraphrase, but God said in one of the couple of the verses in Psalm 106, that the blood of the innocent children that the Jews had sacrificed to their gods had polluted the land. Just like with Abel, the righteous blood of Abel cried out to God. 60 million babies, and their blood cries out to God, if you will, how long? How long, O Lord, holy and true, are we going to allow this to continue? You know, we've got a Supreme Court nominee We hope to be confirmed. Oh, and they make all of these arguments, you know. They're such liars and hypocrites. The one senator said, you know, your dogma speaks very loudly. Well, she's made it known she's a Catholic. It's not the dogma that she's a Catholic. The person that said it is a Catholic. And I wonder, doesn't your dogma speak very loudly? You and her are of the same religion, except your religion has a view on abortion. And the view on abortion by the Catholic Church is that it's murder, that it's wrong. And she holds that view. I've been praying ever since I've been saved that they would strike down Roe v. Wade. I'm still praying for that. You know what will happen if they do that? We've seen riots in the land. You're going to see riots like you've never seen before if they strike it down. But they need to strike it down, because if we stand for God, God will stand with us. So here, this is the battle. And why don't they just be honest and say to her, you know what? We object to you because you believe in life. And they'd be honest. They'd say, we don't. We don't believe in life. And they give you the lie, the mother's argument to choose. When have you ever had the right to choose to murder someone? God says if innocent blood is shed by man, that person that takes that blood, that their blood should be shed. Back in the book of Genesis. Capital punishment. I'm not saying that every woman that ever had abortion should be put to death. I'm saying that that whole law needs to be put to death. What about, again, until recent years, homosexuality has always been considered to be a sin. I think it's in Leviticus. I don't know if I wrote down a note on that. I think it might be back in chapter 21 in Leviticus. Anyway, he says, for a man to lie with another man is an abomination. So God says it's an abomination. And those that commit such sins are to be put to death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, it gives a long list of sin. And it says the people that commit these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. And among those sins is the sins of homosexuality. So if God in his word clearly says a homosexual will not enter the kingdom of God, listen, I'm not any better and you're not any better than a homosexual. We're all sinners. The difference is I've believed in Christ. My sin has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But if God says it's an abomination, and those that do such things, and you know, they say, well, a homosexual was born that way. He can't be changed. In that next verse, the Apostle Paul says to this whole list of sinners, such were some of you. You used to be a homosexual, but you're not anymore. Don't tell me that they can't be converted to the truth. Yes, they can. But they listen to the lies of the devil and these lying preachers out there that tell them, come on in. We accept you. You're a homosexual. It's all right. You're going to heaven. No, they're not. Anybody can walk in these doors. We don't have a sign out there. If you're a drunkard, if you're a prostitute, if you're a homosexual, if you're a lesbian, don't come in. Everybody's welcome, because we know under the preaching of the Word of God, God will look at their hearts and convict their hearts, and they'll realize, I need to be saved. And so that's why we preach the gospel. I've got news for the Supreme Court. You're the highest court in the land. But there's a higher court in heaven. And there's a higher judge. And that judge is going to overrule many of the decisions that you have made. Because God says, I do not change. And if I said it was an abomination back then, it's still an abomination today, and it'll be an abomination tomorrow. And so we can do what we want and say what we want. America. And I want to talk about the remedy for all this. It's 5 after 12. I don't have time. I'm going to have to quit. I know you want to eat dinner and all that. I've got a lot to say. I think there's a lot of truth. But I want you to think about what I said. We can delay the judgment of God. Even though the foundations are being destroyed, we can repair them. It's not too late for that to happen. But that's speaking about the nation, but what about you? Where do you stand with God? You know, I've knocked on a lot of doors ever since I've been saved. Brother Jack Hiles from First Baptist Hammond, his whole thing was soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. And from the very beginning, I went out knocking on doors by myself. I just thought we ought to do it. We ought to go out and talk to people about Jesus. And in the Chicago area where I'm from, probably 70% of the doors that you knock on, and you'll ask them, are you a Christian? And their answer will be, I'm a Catholic. It's not what I ask you. Are you a Christian or are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And most of them will just say, nope, I'm just a Catholic. I'm a good Catholic. And then I've preached revivals in the South. And so I would go out in between my preaching assignments and knock on doors. And you know the Bible Belt. A lot of Baptists, a lot of Pentecostals. And I'd ask them, are you a Christian? And most of them would say, I've been baptized. No different than the Catholic. It's not what I asked you. Baptism won't get you into heaven. It never has. It's only being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So I was amazed, even in the Bible Belt, you would think, knocking on doors, you would get a right answer. Rarely would you get a right answer. I thank God there are many Christians here in this area, and many of them do give us the right answer. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I've been born again. And I ask them, if you die tonight, where are you going to go? They'll say, I'm going to heaven. And I'll say, why are you going to heaven? Because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the right answer. But you know, you could give those answers and still be lost. Because the answer is up here, but it's not in your heart. You see, when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's so many scriptures I would like to preach on that would prove this point. But when you're saved, when you're born again, it's a miraculous event. It's an eternity-changing event. I meet Christians and they say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian, and then they go back to the bottle. Yes, I'm a Christian, they go back to gambling. I'm a Christian, and then they go back to whatever it was. John said there were those that were among us, and they went out from us. You know why? Because they were never part of us. Listen, folks, there's going to be a sad awakening one day because people are going to come to Jesus and they're going to say, look at all that I've done. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 will say, I never knew you. Listen, I'm far from perfect. I'm so far from what God wants me to be, I'm ashamed. I don't even understand why God would allow me to preach a sinner like this. But I can't preach myself. All I could do is preach Jesus. That's what Paul said. I'm going to preach Jesus and Him crucified and nothing else. But I'm going to tell you, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God, that he walked with God. Among people that know me, from way back in those days in Chicago at the racetrack and gambling and all the places where we were shooting dice and playing cards, they know me. And they know that John Jordan, that said he had trusted Christ as his Savior, was changed. I was not the same. I didn't go to those places and do those things I did. By my strength, no. We can't even repent without God's help. Thank God that He grants us the ability to repent and to say to God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. David said, every sin, his sin against Bathsheba was a sin against God. I've sinned over the years, in the beginning, against my wife, against my family, against my friends. I was a sinner. But praise be to God, by his power, he changed me. It's supernatural. And I'm going to close, but this one other story, there was a preacher, pastor's son I grew up with, knew him. He was in and out of church, in and out of church, in and out of church. And I got saved. I mean, I got saved. I got the full dose, if you want to put it like that. I got it all. And he said to me, now, John, you know, you need to, I'll paraphrase, you need to slow down a little bit. Take a step back. Because he said, you don't know, a year from now, you're going to be right back out there doing the same things you did before. And I said to him, Ricky, I don't know what happened to you, but I know what happened to me. And by the grace of God, I'll never be back there. And I tell you, God has helped me to do that. What about you today? Are you a sinner? Are you a Christian in name only? Are you the real deal or are you a phony? That's hard language. But one day we're going to give an account to God. God says we're going to give an account for every idle word, for every deed done in the flesh, whether good or bad. We're going to give an account unto God. Right now, today, are you ready to stand before God? Can you say to God with a pure heart and a clean heart, I've been saved. I know I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I'm going to heaven. There's not a shadow of any doubt. If you could say that, praise God. But if the back of your mind, there's a shadow lingering, there's a doubt there, I'm going to tell you what, that's serious. You better deal with it. There's something back there that says, now wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. If you're having any doubts, God wants you to be 100% sure. People say, well, I'm 90% sure. That's not good enough. We're talking about heaven and hell. 90%, I need 100%. And if you're not 100% sure, I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to get ready to sing an invitation. And I hope that God has used this message in some way. I know I didn't get to where I wanted to go, but maybe another time I'll be able to do that. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes.